You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, exciting show ahead. As we indicated in the opening, we're going to be talking about how you create a vision to remake an entire metropolitan area. It's going to be really interesting. Lots of entrepreneurial tips that we'll be able to glean out of the subject matter. Before we get into it, however, let's call out our sponsors, Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial. Now, Pappas Financial has been a trusted advisor to business owners for over 40 years. They guide entrepreneurs on strategies that protect their businesses and personal assets, implement company benefit solutions, and provide a roadmap for businesses to set their succession plans and investment strategies. Get started right and stay on track. To help you do just that, get Pappas Financial on your team. Reach out to them at 248-539-8292 and tell them your friends at Startup Nation sent you. Well, speaking of Pappas Financial, Norm, we've got you in studio today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you. We missed you last week.
Yeah, I have to tell our guest, Jim, that Jeff's mother and father listen every week. And this week, my mother's listening for the first time. And I know you didn't do this, but I called your in-laws to tell them you're on the show.
So, Jim, tough audience today.
Uh-oh.
Tough audience. Now, of course, we're speaking to Jim Kitai, who's the founder and CEO of Bedrock Management Services. Jim, we're going to get to you in the next segment. Before we do that, we're going to do a little announcement of a really cool event coming up this coming week. But, Jim, we're looking forward to speaking with you.
I'm looking forward to it myself.
Yeah, and Norm's got a tough audience out there lined up for you today.
Absolutely.
And Norm's always, I mean, tough enough to deal with Norm Pappas.
No, I'm just the color commentary.
I'll have to be on good behavior, though.
Okay. Well, before we get into it, we've got Tom Sesti also in the studio. Tom, we've got a big event happening this week. Great for entrepreneurs to know about. Tell us about it. Well, welcome to Startup Nation, Tom.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Tell us what's going on this week.
This week, we've got the Southeast Michigan Venture Roundtable. That's going on this Thursday, May 14th. It's 2 to 6 at the Oakland County Conference Center in Waterford. And this is a great event. What we do is we bring in entrepreneurs and small businesses, and we put them in a room with a panel of funding experts.
Mm-hmm.
We've got representation from angel, venture capital,
yep,
crowdfunding, asset financing,
yep,
state grant. We've got a panel of about 8 different experts in there. And this is a nationally known format put on by Funding Post. They've done it for about 14 years in 24 different cities. And what we do is we try and help both ends of the bargain there. We help the entrepreneurs, help them understand what it takes to properly pitch and prepare to talk to investors.
How to get the money.
Right. How do they get the money?
And that's such a critical thing to get these companies off the ground. That's where it really all starts there. You can have a great idea, you can have a great vision, a great business plan. If you can't rally the resources, you can't get it rolling, can you?
Exactly. So, help them see behind the curtain a little bit so they know how to be better prepared. Help the investors see better deals.
Yeah. Now, for people in our audience, and I think this is really important, it's great to go and just observe it all go down, because much like watching Shark Tank, for example, on TV, I mean, if you're going to make a pitch, if you're going to have a business of your own, it's great to see other people doing those pitches and get the reaction from the panel it's not actual investors at this particular event, but investors sitting on that panel are going to be commenting on the pitches, on the ideas, and so on. It's a great opportunity to learn.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a learning opportunity to help these entrepreneurs prepare. There's going to be some moderated Q&A. There's an opportunity for the first 25 registrants to do a 60-second elevator pitch and get general aggregated feedback on here's what you could do differently and here's how you prepare when you're really in front of investors, when you're asking for that check, plus some networking in case there's some good connections there for people to make.
Now, if people want to attend, how do they find out about the event?
So they can go to fundingpost.com and click on the Southeast Michigan Venture Roundtable. There's registration information there. Again, it's 2 to 6 this Thursday in Oakland County. They've got the ability to buy tickets at that.
What's the ticket price?
Ticket price is $39,
mm-hmm,
and that gets them access to the event. You know, there's hors d'oeuvres and drinks served. There's also service providers there, so they can connect with some different PR firms, creative firms, so really try and connect them with the general entrepreneurial ecosystem support group.
What kinds of... Give us a flavor for maybe one or two or three of the businesses that are registered to do pitches that day. Is it all high-tech kind of stuff, or are there some, you know, good old Midwestern traditional type businesses too?
Yeah, we're seeing a pretty good cross-cut. We've already got a pretty full deck. We expect there to be somewhere between 50 and 75 businesses there. And we're seeing things such as traditional manufacturing. We're seeing some pretty cool consumer products companies come out of this, some footwear-based companies, some actual technology blend toothbrush-type companies. So we've also got some software apps that we've seen register. So it should be a really good variety of companies there.
Great. Well, Norm, I know you're an angel investor.
Mm-hmm.
You get these pitches all the time.
Yes.
But you're easy. You're easy. Easy money over there, Norm, right?
Hard to say no.
You're tough. Well, you know what? You love helping people.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. Well, great. I think it sounds really great. Well, I know I'll be there actually sitting on the panel, won't I, Tom?
Yes, Jeff will be there on the panel. We're excited to have you there. And it's an exciting thing. There's a real need out there to help entrepreneurs understand how do they better prepare for this situation. And it helps the investor so they're not seeing unprepared entrepreneurs.
You know, it might be really cool afterward. Maybe having you back on, we can highlight some of the companies that were pitched, maybe call out some that were really good.
That'd be fantastic.
We'd love to do that.
Yeah,
let's
love
do
that
it,
too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks
great.
So much for coming on. You got a question, Norm?
Yeah, well, remember one time we did a Shark Tank on the show.
And we're going to do more of that.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It is fun. You know, people love that because it's always interesting to hear about people's ideas, you know, inventions, innovations, how they represent them, how they pitch them. It can be entertaining when a pitch is really good, and it can be entertaining when a pitch isn't so good.
You know, there are a lot of great ideas, but if people can't execute on the ideas, they're not going to win.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. Well, let's hope some of those get good feedback, good positive response. I'll be ready to hear some great pitches. Should be really fun. And Tom, we'll have you back on afterward. Let's do that. Let's follow up in the next week or two and see the two of us, since we'll both be there.
There we go.
We'll highlight some
of
the standouts. Okay, very good.
Great.
Thanks so much for being on. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Jim Kitai, the guy at the center of the universe to remake the city of Detroit, Michigan, with his real estate company, working in partnership with Dan Gilbert and the other moguls. I think that'd be fair to say, in downtown Detroit. Stick with us. Great stuff ahead on Startup Nation Radio. Okay, welcome back. We're going to get right into it. Norm, good to have you on the show.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Really interesting show ahead. We've got a great guest, great vision. You know, we always talk about entrepreneurship and startups and small business. Well, who would have the audacity to restart a whole city? I mean, literally, bring in new businesses, new retailers, new restaurants, new living space. That's taken it to another level.
Oh, yeah. And it's so good and so needed. So it's interesting how Jim got started with 4 employees.
Well, Jim, welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be here. Norm, thank you.
Yeah.
So, Jim, how did this happen to you?
I mean, here
you were just going along, and all of a sudden one day you run back into your old friend Dan Gilbert, and you guys decide to start a company and buy a building or two.
Yeah, that's pretty much. It's pretty much how it happened, Jeff. I keep pinching myself, saying, "Can this really be happening? This is a dream for anyone, and it's been an incredible ride so far." So basically, you know, Dan was working on moving his company, Quicken Loans, downtown, and I said to Dan, "You know, we should buy buildings together downtown." And of course, in Dan's way, he's like, "Sure, that's a great idea." So,
see how easy that is? I mean, forget all this
all
pitching
you gotta do
stuff.
Is ask.
We got to ask the right guy, right?
Got to ask the right guy.
Right guy at the right moment. And I think it was perfectly timed, obviously beautifully executed.
The stars were aligned.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to Jim. I think he should be on the radio. He doesn't need to be doing this real estate stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I was told I have a radio voice.
You
is
do?
It working?
Yeah, now just remember, it's our show.
I can't steal
right?
it.
Right. So, well, and the good news is, Norm, I don't think we have much to worry about. I have a feeling you're pretty busy with this stuff you've got going
on
right now.
I am keeping quite busy. So.
I'll bet. Well, and the thing is about it, Jim, is that if you guys are going to have a vision to make a single building work downtown or a single neighborhood or just a single restaurant, whatever it may be, you really did have to have the big vision because you just, by definition, couldn't go buy a single building or a single restaurant and make it work because the challenges, I mean, really the challenge was you really did have to ramp the whole thing up and, to make it work, right?
You're absolutely correct, Jeff. There was no way you could just
small vision.
You have to have an entire vision and you got to be really patient and you got to plan it out right because if you just went and said, I'm going to buy a building here and I'm going to buy a building, half a mile in the other direction.
No way.
It would never work. So
right.
We really, we put a lot of thought to it. We went out and hired three different consultants to help us to say, you know, this is how you got to do it. You know, people who had done urban planning for years and made sure we were really careful to plan it out the right way, put the right retailer in the right location and at the right time. So you are really on target with that. You couldn't just buy one building and think it would work. And you also have to target an area, and it has to start in a centralized area, and it has to expand from there.
Yeah. It's one thing to have bravado in the equation, but, you know, you really did have to go big or go home. I mean, that was it. You had to go that way.
Yeah.
And you guys have done it. It's been amazing. So where does it start? There's also a little bit of a chicken and the egg conundrum in that, you know, do you start with residential? Do you start with retail? Do you start with lifestyle business? You know, do you start with the service businesses that everyone needs downtown in order to live and enjoy the downtown? I mean, where do you start?
It's a great question, and it's not an easy answer. So, you know, we're kind of doing it all at once. And we started out with doing the office end of it, knowing that no matter what we did, there was going to be retail on the first floor, because you've got to have that action, that vitality right out on the street and as part of the city. So no matter what we did, whether it was a parking garage, whether it was an office building, everything had to have retail and does have retail on the first floor. You ask about the residential. So the residential demand has been building up every single day. There's really, it's a very difficult thing to find an apartment downtown. We're 99% leased. Maybe even some of the prime buildings have long-time waiting lists, so it's hard to get in. It's happening together because the retailers really want the rooftops. You know, they want the people living there, and the people living there want the services around them.
Sure.
So you got to kind of do them both together here to make it work.
Yeah. When you guys were putting the grand vision together, did you ever say to yourself, can we do this? Or did you have a sense of confidence all along? Of course, you know, business is risky by nature. You don't know if it's going to work or not, but you do get a sense of calculated, you know, control over these decisions. And were you nervous? Were you anxious?
No,
were you
actually,
worried?
Actually, we always, there was no plan B. There's only been a plan A, and we've had our foot, you know, the pedal to the metal the whole way, and we don't let up. We don't sit there and say it's not going to work. One of the isms, you know, our culture is all about the isms that have been created by Dan. And one of them is, if you believe it, you will see it. And we do believe it, and we always have believed it. And you have to keep your mindset on, it's going to be this way. And it happens, you know. So, and we don't do everything along a spreadsheet. We don't literally mm-hmm. say, is this going to work? You know, yeah. Does this make sense? You got to do it and believe that the money will follow.
Yeah, you guys are doing a good job. And originally you were doing it because the incubator companies were coming down. You wanted a place for them. And now a lot of people that do business with you are moving down.
That's correct. So, you know, it's very tech-oriented. And that's today's future is all about the technology. So, as Norm says, you know, we started out with the Madison building, and that's where all these
great building.
These tech incubators were. Yeah, it's a tremendous, great collaborative environment. And that kind of was the starter of it all. And now there's been tremendous interest from, you know, not just these startup companies, but from lots of different companies. And I know we're going to talk about, but big, you know, Fortune 500 companies that have made the decision to move into the portfolio.
I read about the move of Ally and what you guys did and what the reasons why they did it. And one of this was the high-speed internet that you provided for them.
Rocket fiber. Yes. So that is underway and will be live probably in the next couple of months. But, yeah, that is 100 times faster than the present speed of what you'd get as a internet provider in your home right now.
And I think it's, you know, I mean, I'm a born and raised Michigander, love the state, love the city. But it's fair to say that there were no question some PR challenges you guys had to deal with when you got started too. So, you know, you not only had to have a vision.
Had
and still have. No, that's fair. That's exactly right. No, of course. And it's still an ongoing battle. How do you manage that? And do you have, you know, I'm sure you do, have a focus plan on how you remake the image of the city right alongside with how you actually remake the city?
Yeah, so we try to ignore a lot of the negative PR that comes out because, you know, we really are about you know, the greater good for the city and the greater good for all the other people that want to join in what we're doing. And we help people to do exactly what we're doing. And the entrepreneurs that are out there, we want people to join us and be buying buildings and leasing buildings and moving into apartments and buying apartment buildings, whatever it is. So you can't let this negative PR drag you down. So we are very honest with our answers, and we just, you know, stay the course, and we stick to our position that we are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, this is a lesson for a lot of cities, not just Detroit, but one of the questions is, you want people to move here. It's always about, too, the education, you know, crime, fire, et cetera. What's happening with that?
So we've taken a big, you know, positive move towards creating a safe environment for everyone. And we have a command center that watches, you know, the security for the city, or at least everywhere that we have buildings right now. We instantly, after we buy the buildings, we put cameras up, and we make sure that there are cameras in all the garages and everywhere that the people are, so that they have that sense of safety. And it really is a very safe environment down there. And it's just this perception that had been out there that, you know, Detroit's this bad place. Well, it really isn't. And if you ever look at the crime reports of the Central Business District and right in downtown, it's actually a very safe place to be.
Yeah.
And if you walk out there any day right now, you've got lots of people that are walking their dogs and jogging and living that normal urban city life.
I want to go back to the cameras and the monitoring.
Yep.
That's an initiative that you guys undertook at your own cost. Do I have that right?
Yeah,
I
mean, all at our own cost.
I mean, you know, so that's really thinking outside the box, because typically municipalities are responsible for doing that. You guys said, we're not going to wait to try to negotiate with the city. You know, we've got business interests here that are riding on that for the reasons you just stated, Norm, and the image that we talked about.
Yeah.
And you took the bull by the horns, took matters under your own control. And I mean, that's very unique, I would think.
It really was, you know, it stemmed from the safety of our own team members, because when people were coming downtown, they had to know that they were going to feel safe and be safe. And so we instantly said, you know, that is number one priority. Make sure that we create this safe environment and that people feel it. So we did. And it's been working out great. And, you know, knock wood, there's been, you know, no bad incidences. So we'll keep it going that direction.
And a lot of good. Well, we're going to keep right on this story. We're going to go out for a quick break. We're going to come right back, and we're just getting started. We're just getting started. Speaking of just getting started, I read recently you said you guys are just in the second inning.
Yeah, I usually say we're about top of the second inning.
Top of the
right
second
now.
Inning.
That's correct.
So there's a lot more to be done. We want to try to find out what's going to happen
maybe. Lots of opportunity.
In the third and fourth and fifth innings and so on. So stick with us here on Startup Nation Radio. Great opportunity to hear from the guy in the center of it all, Jim Kitai. Stick with us. Okay, welcome back, Startup Nation Radio. Today brought to you by Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial. Got Jim Kitai here in the studio, Norm Pappas. Interesting.
Yeah, you know what really is good, and what you and Dan have done, and is the jobs you've brought to the city, you know, the employment. I mean, one of my questions is, how many people do you think you've brought? And do you have to watch the Cleveland Cavaliers?
there's no mandate to watch them, but I got to tell you, being part of the family of companies, it's incredibly exciting to watch the Cavaliers.
Sure.
And going to the games, watching the games, and watching how that team has really been able to form themselves as a team. And it's very similar to business. It's actually really interesting.
Now, isn't it interesting that Jim took the Cavaliers question instead of the one about the jobs? That's because the Cavaliers, no, that's so fun to
I'm
talk about.
I'm getting to the
I
jobs.
Mean, that's amazing, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, obviously right now, too. I mean, being in the playoffs.
Pretty exciting
it's
time.
Pretty exciting time for the Cavs.
Yep.
So go Cavs. As far as the jobs, there's over 12,500 team members working downtown right now. And it's growing each day, and it's incredible. There's tremendous opportunity and lots of job opportunities in downtown, not just from us and our family of companies, but from lots of different companies that are moving downtown. The young, you know, person that's graduating from college right now, they want to be in the urban environment. They don't want to go to these suburbs. And that's why we were losing them before. They were, you know, moving to the Chicago's, New York's, mm-hmm. because they wanted to be in the urban environment. So we're now creating that type of environment for them right here in Detroit, where they probably would prefer to be. And it's great. If I'd like to talk about our internship program, because that's been a tremendous driver, maybe one of the best things that we've done. And it started out with 250 first summer, 500, and now it's over 1,000 people each summer that come down and get that opportunity to work in downtown Detroit. And it's great because they're coming from over 200 different universities. And, you know, with social media, they're instantly tweeting.
I was just going to say, those are the ambassadors.
The ambassadors.
I mean, to help fight the image, you know, they're experiencing the reality, today's reality all
Correct.
The time.
They yeah. see it, they feel it, and yeah. they're saying, you can't believe what's
Detroit.
Going on
yeah.
down here. Yeah, yeah, the new Detroit.
Here's what's amazing to me. I think the internship is great. What was amazing to me is how many kids are applying for it and how many are getting it.
And it's without us even soliciting. We have over 20,000 applications for these, you know, 1,200 positions. So, and that is zero advertising. We're not out there saying, you know, we have these internships. So this is all people that have heard about it and are all applying.
Yeah.
I wish we could give more jobs out, and we got to get other companies to do what we're doing, which it's starting now. You know, these internships couldn't be more important.
If you want to keep the kids, you get them jobs.
Oh, sure.
And then they're not escaping to Chicago or Los Angeles or New York or wherever.
Yep, they're going to be right here.
Yeah. And what, you know, I'm curious. I mean, you guys, you're obviously successful business people. I mean, you were successful before this came along. Dan, obviously, has been extraordinarily successful. What drives you guys to do this? Why are you focused on remaking Detroit? I mean, you know, obviously there's business interest in doing that. If it works, you guys will be rewarded handsomely.
Correct.
From a business perspective. But I have a feeling there's more to it than that.
As Dan says, there's nothing wrong. You can do good by doing well. And did I get it backwards? I think it works.
No, that's good.
I think it works either way.
We can do well by doing good.
Right.
Probably, yeah.
So it really stems from Dan's passion, to be honest with you. He has so much passion to make the city, you know, what we all dream the city would have been a long time ago. And he has instilled that passion in me and lots of the other people that are doing what we're doing downtown. And we have a great team. And that's what's really driving it all. And it's this passion to create this place where you can live, work, and play. Because that's what it's all about. And a healthy downtown is going to make a healthy metropolitan area. So it's all about making a great downtown environment.
Where does that passion come from, do you think?
Well, like me, we were born and raised here. Our parents were born and raised here. And so it's all about, you know, being a part of Detroit. And I think it's just someone who really had the guts and, you know, fortunately the resources to be able to say, I can make a difference. And realizing that we can impact the outcome when you have something like Detroit that had been neglected for a lot of years, mm-hmm. you realize there's so much opportunity here, and you can be a big fish in a small pond and
sure.
really make a difference.
That's actually part of the positive side of the opportunity. I mean, we talked about the image, we talked about the decay, we talked about, you know, inheriting a place that was really in disrepair in every way, from its image to, you know, to the infrastructure. But on the positive side, just to highlight what you just said, you guys really had an opportunity to come in, tabula rasa, do it your way. I mean, you know, there's no one else really to compete with in terms of vision or anything else. It was yours to have. You guys had the resources and the vision and the capability and the passion to do it. And it's so that was a plus in the sense that you could do it your way.
Right. And it wasn't necessarily about doing it our way, but it was about you had to create a vision and then work off that vision.
You know, you talk second inning. You're doing some home development.
Correct.
You know, what is going to go on in the future innings here?
So future innings, I think, it's going to just continue to be an expansion of what's already started. So you're going to get, you know, several different neighborhoods that go up that will have, you know, schooling available, will have security available, and it's going to create these environments that people are going to feel, you know what, I can live in this environment, and I want to live in this environment. So the future is, it's going to just continue to blossom and spread. So we've started, you know, from these couple blocks downtown that now are starting to push out, and you're getting your various districts that are forming, you know, and Corktown's getting more popular. And obviously Midtown, which is probably ahead of downtown, has been doing phenomenal and obviously has great things to offer in Midtown as well. And with the M1 rail coming, I think that's going to change a lot, because that M1 rail is going to provide the ability to just, whether you're in Midtown and you want to come downtown, you're in downtown and want to go to Midtown, you walk out your door, no more going to find your car and taking, you know, getting in your cold car. You just hop right on the train.
Right.
And there you are.
Right. In the beginning, after 2010, 2011, when you and Dan got together?
Yeah, we formed, the first acquisition was January of 2011.
11. That was the Madison Building, right?
That was the Madison Building.
So in the beginning, it was, you know, you had this vision, but it was largely pushing a rock up a hill. I mean, you know, it was just you guys, and you had to get others to start jumping on the bandwagon. And now I think, you know, we're starting to see money coming in from other investors. There's other micro visions cropping up and popping up that are really feeding off of your, you know, your early days, which early days, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And that's got to be really exciting for you guys, really gratifying, because, you know, with others now jumping on and doing their part, it's going to accelerate the pace of all of it.
You're so right, Jeff. It happens every single week. We're getting multiple people that are saying, you know, hey, I want to come to Detroit. I want to check out what's going on there. And as much as people hear about it, when they actually come, and we have tours that we're doing, you know, 3-4 tours a day of different investors, different, you know, businesses and business leaders from around the country that are coming in and taking these tours and then going, I had no idea. The word we get most of the time is, you blew me away, because they just cannot get over the energy and the vibe that you get from being down here. So you're right. It's catching on. And any good movement, by the way, it's not necessarily the person who starts the movement. It's all the people that start following that.
Well, the guy who starts the movement is thrilled with that kind of others jumping on and making it go. Yeah.
But you also are having other real estate people come in and want to be part of it.
Even out of the country, Norm.
Out of the country. Yeah. So that, you know, they're going to bid up some prices that...
You know what? That's great. We welcome it. And not only do we welcome it, we help them. So we constantly support anyone who says, you know, I want to do what you're doing. We show them the opportunities. We say, here you go. And that's what anyone wants who's building an urban environment up. You want competition. That's going to make it a much better place for everybody.
So, Jim, you're fortunate to be in the position you're in. I mean, it's one thing to have a great vision. It's another to be, you know, want to go out and buy buildings and develop not only buildings but literally city blocks. You can do it because the resources you have available to you and the infrastructure around you, the support team and all that goes with it. But there's lots of people out there that might want to just buy a home to rehab or do their little part or get started in real estate development. I would love it after the break, if we come back, if you could maybe give our audience a little advice on, if someone's out there and wants to get into real estate acquisition development, maybe you could give us a few tips on how to get started, where to focus, maybe where some opportunities are right in downtown Detroit.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Coming back on Startup Nation Radio. Okay, welcome back, Startup Nation Radio. Just before the break, we started to ask Jim about, you know, I mean, he's been in a sweet spot. If you're going to be in real estate, I can't imagine a better spot to be in. But for those, Jim, first, thanks again for giving us your time and being on the show.
My pleasure.
Norm,
thanks,
always
Jeff.
Great to have you.
Yeah.
And so we you know, been hearing about this grand vision, amazing, the achievements you and Dan and the others on the team have been able to achieve here in downtown Detroit. But if someone's out there, you know, on a startup scale, you know, point of entry into real estate acquisition development, where is there the opportunity today, and what are some of the steps someone can take to maybe learn about that and get started?
So they couldn't ask for a better environment. I mean, you are having an opportunity in Detroit that you really can't get anywhere else in the country right now. It's probably the number one spot for you to go and say, I want to be that entrepreneur that says, if I'm going to go somewhere and invest my money and work hard to do something, Detroit's the place. So someone would be able to go out and find a building that they could buy and renovate and lease out, or go do a neighborhood, big, small, depending on who you are and what your resources are. There's so much opportunity in Detroit that is just sitting there waiting for people like you mentioned.
Or buying and selling, buying, rehabbing, and selling a house. Right? Isn't Detroit
absolutely
one of the more flippable cities in terms of, real estate?
100%. I mean, Detroit is, a spot where you can go and acquire a house in the city. You read about them auctioning off houses, and so yeah, there's opportunities to buy at really low numbers and put the money in to renovate those houses and turn around and flip them.
If someone's saying, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to have a business of my own, they could own a retail store, they could own a service, they could be a service provider, dry cleanings, whatever it may be. They could get into high tech venture, but they could also get into real estate. If I'm going to get into real estate, what are some of the things I should think about in terms of basic skills that really, fundamentally are really critical and instrumental in being a successful real estate entrepreneur?
Yeah, so the most important thing in my mind is building the right team, because you got to surround yourself with people that know more than you do and that can help you in the areas that might not be your strengths. So building a solid, strong team is probably the best thing you can do. And then you got to figure out how you're going to raise some mm-hmm. equity, some resources to be able to get yourself in a position to be able to buy that first building or that first house.
And success breeds success.
Success
breeds
success. You get
that first
success.
One, yeah.
You're right. And you build off of it. And, you can't think it's going to happen overnight, but you got to believe that you can do it and it will happen.
Yeah.
And you got to do it the right way. Don't go in thinking, this doesn't necessarily make sense if I just, calculate it out of my spreadsheet right now. Make sure that you do it the right way, and it will happen. It will work for you.
When you guys got started, you had to be a visionary with a big vision.
Correct.
But now you've kind of, the vision is out there, and now I can a little bit ride the wave. I mean, do I have to come into this and, have some newfangled grand vision of my own? Or can I come in and ride the wave now? I mean, in other words, can I just ride the coattails, whatever metaphor you want to use?
I think you can ride the wave, so to speak, but you shouldn't ever think like that.
That's interesting.
Even what we do on a daily basis, something may work for us right now. That never stops us from saying somebody else has another idea. Mm-hmm. And we encourage anyone, all of our team members, give us your ideas, because you may have an idea that we never even thought of. Mm-hmm. And to be great, you've got to always be recreating yourself and always finding ways to make yourself better. So we never sit there and sort of sit back and ride the wave, if you will.
You guys don't.
We don't, but I don't think anyone should. You've uh-huh. got to constantly push yourself if yeah. you want it to work.
Jim was talking about having the right team, but sometimes at the beginning they need mentors. So they
Good
could
pointer.
Talk to people who have that experience already.
Correct.
Just like I you helping others.
Yeah, I think it's very important to have people that can help teach you the things that you don't know.
Right.
And like I said, I'm learning from people all the time. I learn from people that are younger than me. I learn from all sorts of people. And you got to be open to that. Don't think that you know everything, because you really don't.
One thing, before Jim comes off the air, what's Detroit going to look like in the next 5 to 10 years? And that's a lesson for a lot of cities as well as here.
So I think Detroit is going to look like a place that you are going to have a hard time finding a place to live, because there's going to be such high demand. I think you're going to be in a hustling, bustling environment where people are, walking to work and riding trains to get from, point A to point B. And mm-hmm. probably the majority of people that live down there are not going to have cars. And it's hard for us Detroiters to think like that.
In Detroit?
Yeah, because we've all always thought you got to have a car here. But the young people, they don't even want to have the responsibility of the car. They want to just, be able to have their apartment.
Uber.
Yeah, Uber. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And it's going to be a very different environment, and I'm really, really excited about what I know is going to happen 5-10 years from now.
Yeah, that's great.
It is great. And what about you? What about you?
What about me?
What about you? So here we are. It's interesting. You have the privilege of working side by side with one of the great entrepreneurs of our time. This is a show all about entrepreneurship. wow, I mean, if you're going to look for your heroes, you know, here's Dan Gilbert making it right out of Detroit, Michigan, and really becoming, he's on the cover of the Forbes issue, the Forbes 400, right?
Correct.
On the cover. I mean, here's a rock star right in our midst in this world. And so you get the privilege of working side by side with him. But part and parcel, and it goes hand in hand, you're also working with a, you know, a guy that's larger than life. What about, you know, do you get a chance in that environment to get your personal vision and your personal aspirations fulfilled the way you want them to when you're working with a guy like that in an environment like that?
So you absolutely do, because Dan is, you know, although you say larger than life, he is very much your down-to-earth, normal person, as whatever normal is, but he is just like you and me and is completely open to hearing other people's vision, and it's not just about what's his vision. He is always, always, always asking, you know, what's your opinion? What's your vision? And I do consider myself privileged because this is a great, great experience and opportunity. But the best part is Dan has created a culture that has become incredibly contagious. And once you actually absorb that culture and realize that if you go out and communicate to other people and you tie the threads, as we say, and I find ways to connect one company to the other company to the other company, you find that each one feeds off the each other, and all these additional opportunities are created. So great privilege, but it's, you know, he very much pushes you to create your own vision. So it's all
It was
about,
a bit of a leading question, because I know that about Dan, and I see that. I see that with people like you. I see it with the other people on his team that I've worked for. He really does. You know, obviously there's oversight, obviously there's accountability, but boy, to a large extent, you're able to run with it, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
You know, he's got a lot on his plate, a lot of different things going on. So yeah, I am able to run with it. And
it's incredible.
I do the same thing, though, is I rely on my team members, and we have an incredible team, incredible leadership team that is, I couldn't do it without them. They're just an incredible support, and they are constantly pushing me, and I push them, so it's great.
It's an amazing opportunity. Norm, did you want to...
Yeah, there's going to be a book written about what you guys have done.
Oh, for sure.
So what's the title of the book going to be?
I'm so glad you asked me that, because I sit with my, as I call him, my consigliere all the time, and we're calling the book Different But Doable.
Hey, that's great.
That's good. That is great. Is that by Jim Kitai?
Well, it's probably by Howard Luckoff, and I'll comment on the book as well.
Really great stuff. Well, congratulations. Are you? How do you feel, Jim? Are you feeling good?
I feel phenomenal. I wake up every day, and you know, it's just a new experience, and I just feel lucky. And
you're not tired out yet, are you? There's more to come.
There's no time to be tired.
There's more to come. That a leading question.
Right. We won't take our foot off the accelerator.
No, I have a feeling you won't at all. I'm not worried about you, Jim. You look good. You look fresh. You look like you're having a great time.
Thanks,
certainly
Jeff.
A lot to feel good about. Well, thank you.
Thank you
thank
as
you,
well.
And thanks to Dan Gilbert and the rest of the team. Thanks so much for being on. Norm, thanks.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Great show.
Absolutely.
Good job, Jim.
Thanks again,
thanks,
Jim.
Thanks, guys.
Keep it going. All right. Startup Nation Radio. We'll be back next week.